The following podcast contains real reviews and the ridiculous reactions of two would-be oracles of the internet. The opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Seriously.
Well, hi. Welcome to RubyParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a podcast. It's on the internet. It's got comedy in it. Matt, tell them what we do here, will you?
We look at internet reviews, children. We look at those from Google, from Yelp, from TripAdvisor, sometimes Target and Kohl's.com. We find something silly about someone silly, maybe. Maybe it's a silly product or place that they visited, and then we make that silly sillier.
I'm sorry, we're not just a robot reading Amazon reviews. We make jokes afterwards sometimes. There's a discussion, perhaps, that evolves, you know. While we're documenting history, we comment on it. It's sort of a crazy concept, but I think we pull it off to some extent.
I think we do.
The proof's in the pudding. You want to start this one, or you want me?
To wit, I have this Google review for the Clarion in Elmhurst, Oakbrook, near I-88, I-290, I-294. That's the whole Google listing. And this Google review comes to us from Jeff Griggs, which just sounds like a good name.
Old Griggs.
This is a review from 2 weeks ago. It was hot and fresh. Jeff writes at the Clarion M. Temperature on shower was warm at best. A mouse came from room 123 into our room 125 multiple times, and front desk was not surprised. TV channels on the TV were few and far between. Another guest that we spoke to had a ghost in her room. One star.
The ghost didn't have a home room like the mouses did, though.
Right. It's just ambulatory. It goes wherever it wants.
Yeah. That's a bigger problem. I don't think the mice were the problem if they would have stayed in 125 there. You know?
Now, there is a response from owner. I didn't see this earlier. It's fairly copy-paste, but it says, "We're truly sorry about your unhappy experience. We have already initiated appropriate actions for improvements."
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any other way to read that.
Yeah. This is a Slimer sort of, you know, Ghostbusters origin story situation. Topical. Maybe we don't even need to create a sort of silly world where the Ghostbusters is real. Maybe this is just guerrilla marketing. There's, you know, they're trying to create a lot of buzz around that brand lately.
Yeah, that's true. And not to turn away from the ghosts for a moment, which you never don't ever turn away from ghosts.
then it gets closer to you. You have to watch it, and then it covers its eyes and stays put.
But back to the mouse for a second. I know we're both fans of the mouse and the motorcycle, both halves. And that was a mouse / hotel / motorcycle story. That was heartwarming, fun, and enjoyable for everybody.
Sure.
I don't think I would knock stars off.
But that mouse knew its damn manners. We don't have a mouse in the motorcycle situation. You know, he was adventurous, but he would never invade someone's personal space, the mouse in the motorcycle. We have the mouse in the trench coat type situation here, I think, breaking into rooms, doing Lord knows what.
I'm willing to say that maybe it's just an underprivileged mouse that doesn't have a motorcycle. But it could be, the trench coat mouse peeping in and peeping.
Let it be known that I don't blame, you know, while the trench coat mouse needs to stop his activities, stopping that would only be the symptom, right? You got to cut the head off the snake. There's a lot of societal problems that led to the mouse in the trench coat.
And the ghost can just stand by and do nothing.
Yeah, the ghost. Okay, let's move back to the ghost conversation. if it could be a ghost, in which case, what do you want them to do? I don't think you can take stars off for ghosts.
No, you shouldn't.
Even if the ghost attacks you, what is the establishment supposed to do about it? I guess if If you walk into a, every time you walk into a McDonald's, a spirit attack assails you. That is a one-star McDonald's.
That's true.
Oh, so that's a toughie.
But the moment they bring in some member of the clergy, a priest or something, people are going to start crying foul, saying, you're not going to make this hotel religious, are you?
Right. That's where the busters come in.
Then, yeah, you got to get the busters.
Certified atheist and or Scientologist busters. You can't join the busters unless you're like, a Scientologist, an atheist, agnostic, maybe at most.
Comedian.
A comedian. Yeah. Most comedians are agnostic or upset with their faith in some some vile capacity. Ghostbusters are certified vile people. Disgusting. That's what they're missing. It wasn't the problem that there was ladies that were Ghostbusters. They were too nice.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's a fresh perspective.
You're welcome. Welcome. That's what you can ask for here on ReviewParty.com. I feel like is there a hotel in the where you couldn't ask a staff for the ghost story about it though in America or anywhere else? I'm sure that's every hotel.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, unless you're just some disinterested. Like, what? No. Here's your towel.
Yeah. Well, don't ask the disgruntled towel guy. Ask the inquisitive puppy dog desk guy. But I have a review I just got to get out of me. I guess speaking of religion, I missed the segue. The segue came and I was too dull and disinterested. Maybe there's a ghost, you know, cursing me on my shoulder. Anyway, from Amazon, I have a review for Faith and Wrestling, How the Role of a Wrestler Mirrors the Christian Life by Michael Fessler.
Oh.
That's what I said. And this when you just search wrestling on Amazon, this is pretty high to the top. And it only has 65 ratings, and sometimes you see that. And you look for a funny review, and there's just like two written reviews. So I almost didn't click on it, despite the ridiculousness of the product. Boy, was I glad. This thing's chock full of reviews, including but not limited to this review from Nardis. Titles their review, God is Also a Wrestler. They write, wrestling is the only sport that is truly mentioned in the Bible. It is in Genesis when Jacob wrestled with God. Or the angel of God on his way back home when he was about to meet his brother Esau. How he wrestled with God the whole night long until morning, until God eventually blessed him. So I guess you could say that God is also a wrestler. In the book, it states that wrestlers and ex-wrestlers make out to be the best Christians. This is very true. The people that I know who have the strongest faith and who is not afraid to live out their faith are wrestlers. Wrestling makes you strong, both physically and spiritually. I recommend this book for both wrestlers and non-wrestlers, for both women and men, 5 stars.
Is it possible that there's some sort of, what's the term I'm looking for? A confirmation bias, is that it? Going on here where...
There's no chance. There's no chance in the confirmation. You're crazy.
Let me just construct a fictional Matt for a moment. I'm going to make him wrestler, point one. I'm going to make him Christian and forward with his faith, point two. I'm going to get him this book, point three. And I'm going to have him just deal with the quote-unquote revelations. look around and say, well, all my friend wrestlers who are Christians are... This is all just symphony harmony. There must be a reason for all of it. God's wrestler.
God's wrestling. Yeah, I do really love the vision of God as like Zangief from Street Fighter with a big white beard and a halo or something.
Yeah. Just tussling.
Just a tussler, you know, not a wrestler, but a wrestler.
Oh, yeah. There's some old, like, not Ripley's book, but some like weird tales, too strange to be fake book that I don't know where I found. But I remember there's this page where some priest like wrestled with Satan and you could see their footprints that had been pushed so far into the stone before Satan's like, I'm outie, and he bounced down the hill. So, hey, maybe there's something to this. Because if Satan's a wrestler, God's a wrestler, that's a pretty tight league going on there.
The heel and the baby face, right? It's right there. Satan and God. Lucifer fell, you know, the heel turn or whatever the anti-heel turn is. You hate to see it. And then, Gabriel and Michael came down with their flaming chairs and... It's just a really easy, there's easy metaphors to make.
Yeah,
there.
The Undertaker? Come on, guys.
Where do you think under is that he's taking them? Not under the covers. Talking the earth's crust to where the seven circles, maybe. The seven rings. When you get to hell, you have to have seven death matches, depending on what area of hell you're in. And it's hard to wrestle when you get turned into a tree. You know, They're just going to break off your branches. That's not going to feel good. The other thing that maybe gripped me here is, what was it? So God's a wrestler. We covered that.
It's the only sport in the Bible. Is that it?
The only sport in the Bible. Touch on that. Can you confirm or deny that point?
I can't recall any other, you know, like field hockey, darts. No curling that I remember. There was something about fitting a camel through the eye of a needle, but throwing pearls before a swine.
Camel racing's more honorable than wrestling, surely. There's so many opportunities for foul play in wrestling, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
That have been taken advantage over time. I mean, the soap opera of the WWFE, AW. C, A, B, C, D is all based on that completely. You ever see a three-decade-old drama about camel racers playing dirty? I don't think so.
It is a pure sport.
Right. There's no Diddy Kong bananas. There's no sort of spit projectile, twisted metal attacks going on. Just the boys between the humps going fast. But what I really was getting at before that wonderful bit presented itself was what I can relate to less than thinking your faith is really awesome is like having a hobby and not thinking there's a couple 2-3 jabronis in the community that could go elsewhere, right? this affirmation that yes, all the wrestlers I know to be are good, fine Christians.
Right.
You know, I couldn't join a volleyball group at the Y and think, wow, all these people are so just upstanding, amazing people. There would be a dude there just how the law of probability works, Murphy's Law. There's going to be a jabroni guy or gal there that I think is a dingus and, you know, is going to break my idea that any sort of hobby-based community isn't going to have a few stinkeroos that are going to ruin those hyperbolic comments.
Probably some dick.
Right. There's got to be some dick who's wrestling and claims to be Christian. In fact, isn't that just Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Right? Huh? Got him. Checkmate.
Spit right in your eye.
Checkmate, Nardis. Have we covered the Christian wrestling book here? I think we.
Yeah, I think so. I'm now just wrestling with the question of whether or not I should bring my vaguely religious review that I found today.
Maybe tis the season. You know, we celebrated the birthday. We got back. We started focusing on ourselves too much. Let's focus on the big man upstairs. What do you got?
This is a Google review of the First United Methodist Church in Downers Grove, Illinois. This is a review from Alanis Silva. I was just kind of taken aback Alanis writes, twisting God's word and influencing identity confusion, misleading the body of Christ, profiting off the sin and destruction of your body, you will stand before God on judgment day for the sheep you lead to destruction with your false doctrine and gummy bear religion. We will not stop until these lies are silenced and people know the truth of this evil church. One star. So, that's just pretty. That's intense.
It's intense.
Put a word on it.
And we give a lot of benefit of the doubt around here to reviewers, to business owners, vice versa. We give a lot of judgment, you know. We make a lot. We see people's words and make a lot of snap judgments about who they are and what they're about and what side, so to speak, we're on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about these self-righteous words, this hatred being slung in my community. You know, I've got neither sides of the stories. I am not qualified to make any opinions about this situation.
I was like, what's going on? Luckily, a quick scroll
before
down.
You go on, I'm okay. On board. I'm with the reviewer here. They sound pretty badass to me. But what do you have to say?
A quick scroll down to another review found Rebecca Schuberth's. This one's all caps, and I assume they're both 2 years ago, so they gotta be reacting to the same thing. Rebecca writes, they are hosting a trans Santa Claus event and is profiting money from HBO Max to film it. Do not attend this church, one star.
That's correct. Okay, so I gotta take my words back, don't I? She made me eat my words. That just goes to show you, I could have got tricked into supporting something that they wanted me to, but I do not agree with. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. I fucks with trans Santa. Let me put it on record. I don't really give a darn if someone's doing some fundraiser with, I don't know, evil HBO with trans Santa in it.
Right.
Sounds kind of fun. But if she would have just kept her big gap shut, you never would have read that review.
Nope.
We could have been fighting, you know, had our review party pitchforks aimed at something that that could have been in their favor, but look at that. They had to yap, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, I'd never heard the term gummy bear religion before.
See, I think that's the term that made me go, okay.
Right?
They got a little sauce, I think. I agree.
This. What's that?
Yeah, it's I don't know quite exactly what they meant, but the squishiness, the rotundness, the sort of goofiness. It's like calling it a scarecrow, you know. But
right.
You could it's like when the Ghostbusters had to think of something not scary or it would be summoned to destroy New York and they thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I might think of a gummy bear. The same sort of comedic effect. but yeah, I don't that review sort of puts a period on it. I mean, we got any other?
No, we can move on from the religious dialogue now.
Yeah, I think we should nicely close the chapter on our little biblical.
Hard as it is to stop talking about that on a comedy podcast.
Hey, we stopped at church. They had a lovely feast. A lovely Sunday feast. We enjoyed it. We gabbed. We talked a little shit, maybe more than we should have. Hopefully no one judgmental heard. Hopefully everyone had fun and good jest. And now we're going to take a break.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewBuddy.com.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt. Hey, welcome back to ReviewBuddy.com. The break's over. All right. Zip up your fly there, you little weirdo. Here, see that? That's some the boss shouts break time and some weirdo unzips his fly. It's like, what's up with that? Anyway, we got a segment here. It's a Brent segment. It's a steaming pile of reviews.
Yeah.
Open that valve. Let Gaben know. We got some reviews from his marketplace for video games. You know, there's been a lot of talk of a certain game and it's how it's good competition for Nintendo's franchise Pokemon. Because Nintendo's been resting on their laurels and giving us shovelware, overpriced video games for children, I guess. And they're saying that this game will change everything because it's shovelware that features stealing. So instead of talking about that game, because I don't think that game needs any more publicity, I have a game that I think is actual competition for Pokemon in the same genre. And the company that makes it kind of sucks too, but that's capitalism, baby. I'm talking about Digimon Cyber Sleuth Complete Edition.
Okay.
Got some Steam reviews. It's a Digimon game. If you don't know it, there's little digital monsters that live in our computer, and they turn into cooler, bigger digital monsters that live in your computer when you fight other cool digital monsters that live in your computer. And then they die and get experience points and get bigger and stronger. The typical deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it from me. Take it from the reviewers. I'm talking to Ain't It. They write, "My squid evolved into a bird and then into a nine-tailed fox and then into a hot woman and then into a hotter woman. Recommended." There's a lot of, like, you know, my cute little animal turned into a sexy lady jokes. I think I got a few of the best ones. I'll get them out of the way. Moth Maniac writes, "My rabbit turned into a cat and then into a sexy lady. 10 out of 10. Recommended." Yes. James writes, "My dog and became a cat, turned into a sexy angel. Recommended." Anya writes, "Dude, gulp. There's girls in this game. Recommended."
Sexy ones, I've heard.
Sexy ones? You got short girls, you got tall girls, you got angel girls, you got dinosaur girls. That's everything a monster RPG needs. Lustful Rose surprisingly doesn't write about the girls. They, in all caps, write, "It has the Digimon following right behind you. Recommended."
Nice.
You love a monster RPG where the front of your party is right behind you. You love that. Kozaman writes, "I haven't made it to chapter 3 yet. Recommended." 280 hours at the time of review.
Oh, well, what are you doing?
Got into a little side content, perhaps. Got a little crazy. Got a little busy trying to collect all the sexy angels, maybe. Bylon's got sort of a bigger overview of the product here. Let's see what they have to say. They title it Best Digimon Game to Date. "Frequently asked questions. Why is it the best? Because you can put poop in your party to greatly decrease the grinding. Also, the story is great. Question, is it better than Pokemon? Answer, they're very different games. Can't compare. This game is more like softcore Shin Megami Tensei or Persona. Question, why are the graphics kind of not so good? Answer, because it's a 2015 PlayStation Vita port. How good is the translation? Absolute garbage, but at least comprehensible. Why Cyber Sleuth main theme sounds so familiar to Danganronpa's main theme? It's the same composer, Takeda Masafumi. Who is best girl? Answer, Wormmon. Recommended."
Wormmon?
You don't know Wormmon? Oh.
Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Let me send Matt a little image. Oh, this is a nice, like, really lifeless marketing art of Wormmon. I think that's perfect to send to Matt. Let's see what he has to say. Wormmon.
Okay. Yeah, that's horrifying.
What's Wormmon look like?
Honestly, if I'm going to use gamer terms, it's kind of got like chocobo-esque features in the face.
Oh, the eyes are a little... Yeah. I see what you mean, a little chocobo eyes, kind of.
But it's like a little centipede with horrible little... It's mostly green with horrible little pink magenta one claws and little stinger tail. And it's just got this purple sideways mandible that just, you don't want it to bite you anywhere, but you think it will. It's got some strange little antenna, but yeah, those eyes.
Would you describe this monster partner as cute, cool, badass? Where would you put this little fella if he was following you around, or if you had to describe him?
Regrettable. Yeah, I feel bad.
RBD Stein writes, Pokemon could never give me depression like this game does. Recommended.
No.
Jedi Master Shark writes, this game is extremely Japanese, like more Japanese than a samurai driving a Toyota Camry through the middle of Tokyo. 10 out of 10 recommended. I always like to bring one negative review for the games I like, just to... Not, of course, not to show that people that don't like the things I like are stupid and dumb. I would never do that. I bring it to show both sides of the argument.
Right.
I have a review from Nani the Fox. They write, certain people will shill this game aggressively, but it's not good. Extremely mediocre budget RPG with mind-numbingly simple gameplay. Visually boring, look-alike dungeons, repetitive and awful soundtrack. Story is a yawn fest. Side quests are creatively bankrupt and uninteresting, and ultimately feels nothing like a Digimon universe aside from the tacked-on creature models, lovingly dumped on PC to milk a few bucks from the unwitting and diluted.
Wow.
Only play it if you absolutely must scratch the monster collecting itch and can't wait a month for the superior Pokemon game to release. Only buy if you're making a vain attempt to support the continued localization of the franchise in the West. Maybe you'll get more garbage like Digimon Tri and Cyber Sleuth shoved on our throats and be thankful about it. Smiley emoji. Port is mediocre as well. Key/button prompts are always shortened for controller. Have to watch a cutscene just to get to the settings. You know it's bad when the menu gives you a choice of anti-aliasing on or off. 30 FPS hard cap, only 16:9 ratio available. The usual poor man's port job, not recommended. But they played the 0.3 hours minimum that you need to review the product.
Did they say only twice? Only buy if? You can only do one only, as far as I know. The rules of only.
Checkmate.
Hey, Nani Fox, come on.
Hey, Nani. the name's cut off. I apologize because I have a cute avatar and I'm sure their name's cute too. But Bones and Bulky Org .. writes, it's like a Persona game, but Agumon's there. Recommended. And those are reviews I found for Digimon Cyber Sleuth Compete Collection.
Yeah.
Good. If you want a silly little monster RPG to play on Steam, it's two games in one, by the way.
Ooh.
Not only is it two games in one in the same package, with sort of a story that's happening at the same time affecting each other, your Pokedex completion is cross the two stories.
What?
So when you beat one, you don't have to beat the other, and then you unlock an ability to sort of not transfer your Digimon, but you're like, your data files, like make a copy of this Digimon stuff, kind of transfers over it. It's pretty nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, cool little game.
Well, thanks for bringing a steaming pile.
I love a good steaming pile. It's so easy to open that valve and see the steam come out of the pile, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll get us back to our regular stuff. I've got a Google review.
Whoa.
For George's Burgers and Subs McPhillips. This is Canada. We're dealing with Canadian restaurants right now.
We're really, it's an ordeal. We're really dealing with it.
Yeah. This is a Google review from Ajadeep Singh Dhaliwal. Ajadeep writes, "Initially, I've never been the biggest fan of George's Burgers, primarily because I only ate burgers my friends brought home. I'm giving it a 5-star because I went and ate in the restaurant recently and discovered that it was because my friends just don't order the burger the way I like it. There is a big range of customization that can be done, which I never knew before. 5 stars.
It's a whole new world. Where were you when you first learned that you could tell a waiter that you wanted your food a little different?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even remember. That's such an early memory that I don't know at all.
You were a toddler. It was instinctive in you as an Illinois suburbanite to work the inner workings of a mom and pop restaurant. Is this mom and pop? What kind of dealio of a restaurant are we dealing with?
This is sort of like a local fast food chain.
Local fast food chain. Okay, so like, oh, so it's like a Culver's, and they didn't know they could ask for no ketchup. Is that what we're dealing with here?
I think so.
Are all my cards in a line here?
Yeah, what does Ajadeep's world look like, though? Like, he's only had these burgers because his friends brought them home. It sounds a little pampered, but it's a little, I don't know, Emperor's new clothes. He's been, like, just assuming was it Buddha? Was it Siddhartha Buddha who was shielded from old people and sickness his entire life and then saw an old person once and was like, I need to go out and experience the world for myself.
I can, you know, I imagine American fast food has that effect on people. And I don't mean that in sort of a wholesome way at all, in sort of a terrifying, chemically engineered to have... to make your brain think miracles are possible. That's the same feeling I get when there's like a high-res Coca-Cola ad before a movie.
Yeah.
And that crispy, bubbly Coca-Cola is hitting the ice in high definition.
Looks so good.
Or the perfect fry fall in slow motion with the salt.
Yes.
Got listening.
And
you know what? You know what the greatest part of that is? The infinite possibilities. You could ask for no salt. There could be no glisten on your fries if you want it. That's America.
Double fry him.
Double fry this guy? You can order 2 fries, my guy. you don't want a large, you can get 2 smalls.
I never knew.
You can, if you want a double fist, but you don't want a tummy ache. Wow, do I got the place for you? Yeah, that's a goofy one. Anything else strike you about that review?
It's really just the 2 things that, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't lived with roommates too much.
Sure.
Or like, what is his word? Friends are just bringing home burgers, and he's like, "Yes, I have one plain George's burger. Yes, I have another."
Right. You've never been in a roommate situation where people were bringing sacks of food home to distribute.
Just sort of throwing it there, and then everyone scurries forth and grabs a little bit and huddles in their corner.
Right. I think roommate situations we were in were much more, "Hey, I'm going to T-Bell. You need anything, bud?"
Yeah.
Not, "Oh, I went to T-Bell in my folly, in my brain fog, I ordered an entire extra sack of tacos, of soft and hard shell tacos. Let me throw them in the floor for so you can descend upon them like rats.
By the way, I got them a specific way that you might not like.
I got no lettuce on the bitches. Can you imagine? The meat and cheese tube is sound and solid. There is no papery wetness to stop the melting. And plain. It's the plainness, too. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's it for the Georges.
Maybe on the other side of the coin, to give that bit quickly, I think maybe he is better than us, because maybe our knowing of the customization came from a place of pickiness and selfishness. Ugh. This man has been accepting mustard that he doesn't really like his whole life. And finally, salvation. You can get no mustard on these bitches. All right, I got a review. This is an IMDb review for Sesame Street. The review for Sesame Street. This is a 2023 review, so hot off the presses. It's by Alex9920. Alex titles their review, "This is just boring and annoying. Why is it still on the air?" They write, "I am glad I didn't grow up on this piece of junk. This series is stupid beyond infinity. Why is it still on the air? Sesame Street isn't making the children any smarter. Actually, it's quite the opposite, and surely a tool of propaganda made to force our children into ideologies and points of views of the creators. When I began watching The Muppet Show and The Muppet Series, a hilarious and well-made puppet show, I found out about the sister series, The Muppet Show. Of The Muppet Show, this series called Sesame Street. I tried to watch an episode or two being driven by curiosity. Then I found it's just terrible from start to finish. There's not a single funny line from any of the characters or any single entertaining scene. All the characters make me want to puke, especially that little red furry demon named Elmo. I can't even stand looking at him. I think even preschool kids deserve shows that are better and entertaining. Honestly, I can't compare Sesame Street to any other cartoon or kid shows I used to watch when I was a child. You want a truly educational series for children? Try The Magic School Bus, Little Einsteins, or Cat Planet. This one really doesn't teach kids anything. Do you want a humorous and interesting series? Try the 1990s and 2000 Nicktoons and Cartoon Network series. Do you want a series that is both educational and funny? Try Animaniacs. This one really will make kids dumber and fatter. Waste of time in front of my screen. 1 star.
Wow. Maybe you're just not the intended audience anymore, so you can't.
Maybe you're not a toddler child. I would hope that you're not learning anything from Sesame Street when you're, I don't know. I guessing from the review, the 90s nostalgia, at least a 30-year-old person.
Yeah, I would agree.
I hope you're not captivated by the count, counting stuff when you're that age. I God, I hope so. But I can't be sure. We cannot be sure from this review.
I just question all the judgment, all of it. Sure, you can like Magic School Bus, it's good stuff. Sure. Animaniacs, I don't know that Animaniacs is necessarily very educational, aside from, like, songs that list states and capitals and things like
that. They had a world country song once, yeah, It's Education, yeah. That's Good for the Children by Steven Spielberg.
But why was Mr. Rogers not mentioned? We're going to talk about standards to hold up and then point to.
You want to talk about Blue Skidoo, and you can too. Steve taught me everything.
Steve taught a lot of people a lot of things.
You know what I'm thinking about? Especially the calling out Elmo by name.
Mm-hmm.
Elmo's on the show to teach, like, empathy. Which is something, you know, I think a lot of these shows do, but sort of during teaching the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The kids on Miss Frizzle's school bus learn to work as a team and respect each other, but while they're under the guise of, you know, learning about the digestive system and
right.
Arnold's anus.
being inside a beehive or something.
Right, right. There's sort of the A and the B plot going on there, where, like, when Elmo's on the screen, it's just all about respecting your homies,
yeah,
showing love, something I'm not sure Alex is too into.
You rush to judgment, Elmo. Elmo, you're going to learn a lesson pretty soon.
A red little furry demon. What could Elmo do?
Yeah, that is bizarre.
And, you know, how are they so... I wasn't a Sesame Street kid, but if they were around the age that they're kind of claiming to be from this review, they knew they were in the heap of the Tickle Me Elmo craze.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers and fathers were punching each other out over this small, vibrating, laughing demon.
Elmo had his own show.
Elmo had his own freaking show. He had his own PlayStation game where you could... It was like a rail shooter where you just fly around and shoot letters. You found an N! That's good shit. I learned what an N is real fast.
The propaganda. Surely the propaganda. A tool of propaganda.
It's crazy that you watch that show and see it and not think that they're going to make... Because obviously there's diversity inclusion that goes on. And
yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine them being mad at much else, but isn't that the kind of show? You kind of, you know, that would have that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to try and instill a message of some sort.
God forbid your kid learns that, you know, if there's a kid that's different than them at school, they shouldn't be mean. They should treat them with some level of respect and understanding.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Not a single funny line from any... Yeah, I don't know. You're just looking for the wrong things in the wrong places.
I don't think Cookie Monster is going to make like a diarrhea joke or something, bro. I bet if I watched Sesame Street, I'd find something that's pretty funny. I'd laugh at Leech once. do you have a review, dude?
Yeah, I got a quick one, I guess. This is for Pizzeria Patricio Panzerotti. This is on some island. This is on an island called Portuguese.
Portuguese Island, perhaps?
I don't remember. Whatever. Look it up. It's a Google review. Written by Umberto Patricio. He writes, "I am actually the owner. What can I say about this establishment is that there is far out and way above average combination of flavors to fancy everyone's taste buds. 5 stars.
Far out flavors.
So how do we feel about this?
You know, it's bad enough even if you silently, I don't know, if it's your establishment, I think you can leave a star rating, right?
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
silently and honestly leave a star rating. I don't think that's crazy because it's like, yeah, I think it's pretty good. I don't think a star rating is going to mess with anything. You know, you're not throwing stuff off. But as soon as you are gassing yourself up in that sort of way through that avenue, mm-hmm. you know, you're muddying the rest of the reviews with your review at that point, I think.
Yeah. When they're looking at Pizzeria Patricio and they see Mr. Patricio.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's and maybe it's a capitalistic I'm making up words all time. Maybe it's because of capitalism. It's capitalism's influence that I think like you should just make a commercial. That's where that's for. You should but
mm-hmm.
If you got a business, you just got a ball like that, bro. You just got a ball like that. Come on.
Domenico Sabova writes, "The owner was extremely nice and welcoming. He made us great calzone and let us taste his special sauce."
Oh. Well, if he's got a nice special sauce, maybe he gets a pass.
Someone says their 6-year-old slammed 2 slices. Then had another a few hours later. My 1-year-old ate a whole slice. Sounds like pretty good pizza.
Yeah, now I just want pizza, man.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. I think we can finish the episode on the old let enough of those self plugs, all right? That guy self plugs, cringe. Our self plugs, hey, new episodes every Tuesday. Reviews day, that's right, hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you want to send in a funny review for us to make some funny over, send it in an email is a great place to do it with a hyperlink or a screenshot. Reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name. So you can throw us credit, throw it hard, and throw it fast.
If you want to reach out to us on the social medias, at reviewparty.com on Instagram and TikTok, there's a lot of good stuff going on there. I encourage you to check out both. Maybe you're like, I'm trying to get off TikTok, and then go on Instagram. Maybe you're like, Instagram's dead, and go on TikTok. Or Twitter, X, at reviewpartypod. Do that if you want. I don't understand you, but do that if you want. Reviewparty.com, our website. There's the blog there. There's all the episodes there. There's all the listening platforms, even those that have since passed away and been forgotten. We're still keeping them up there. It's just a little graveyard of lost platforms for you to enjoy.
They are. It is the season, though. They're dropping like flies.
Yeah.
It is. It's honestly, it's good for the old ego. You know, I love a continuously piling pile of dead and given up on projects left in our wake as we soldier on. Hey, speaking of gassing yourself up, leave us a review. If you had fun and you're on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever platform you have, and they have a little star rating or a thumbs up button to click, we're the review podcast, so that stuff looking nice, you know, makes us feel nice. If you leave a review with some kind words or some funny words, I'm sure we will read it on the air. And you know what else is on the air? The Jam, Bread for Breakfast, By the Nosebleeds, good ass song they let us use throughout the podcast as our theme song. If you want to hear more from them, you can go to Spotify, search Nosebleeds, one word. Matt, do you have a review to finish us off?
I certainly do. I've got a Google review for a restaurant in Winnipeg, back in Canada. Hold on your butts. This is a review for the Yellow Deli from Abe Neufeld. Abe writes, I did research and it is not a cult. That is a rumor started by a competitor, so feel at ease to spend your money there. It's safe. Peace emoji. 5 stars.
That makes me feel better.